morning I'm going to talk about Zazen again, and I'll be revisiting some of what I said last week. How many of you were at the Dharma talk last week? Oh, quite a few. So some of it will sound familiar, but I think it's well worth viewing again. First, I'd like to say how nice it is to be here. It's beautiful here, isn't it? The silence and the rain and the green and the sense of community and serving one another and eating together, and it's really remarkable. So we say Zazen is the center of our practice lives. And that is true. But the Zazen is that we speak of is not learning meditation, as Dogen Zenji says. And it is not limited to what we do on the cushion. As I watch the servers, especially those of you that are doing it for the first time, just wholeheartedly diving in, doing it beautifully like a dance, that is Zazen too. Hitting the han, you know? Getting the rhythm, listening for the rhythm. That is Zazen too. So we should never limit ourselves into what we think, in what we think Zazen is. However, I'm going to talk about the Zazen that we do when we sit on a cushion. Okay? In that Zazen, as in all the other Zazens, we have the opportunity to know ourselves, to be with ourselves. In a very particular way, we sit in silence with our friends. We remember ourselves. Sashin, as Shinshu said last night, it means to gather the mind and heart. Shin, Sashin, means to gather, to recall ourselves from our calculated effort, our usual calculated effort to be something else. So we turn ourselves over to this moment. When we sit in this way, we develop a solid foundation. We settle. The Jodoshin folks like to use the word truly settled, the phrase truly settled, and I've come to have a great affection for that term. To be truly settled is Zazen. So with this foundation, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, and it's spiritual. What that means is we naturally grow in our ability to notice all the ways that we are wobbly, that we are imperfect, that we are human, and include those, everything, in a broader and broader perspective. And we rest in that. We settle down in that broad perspective. We taste the truth of the Tathagata's words in our own body and mind. We grow in our capacity to see with the eyes of Kanon, the Bodhisattva of compassion, and to have the settledness of Fudo Bodhisattva, who is unshakable in his commitment. It is a relief to allow grasping, judging, agitated mind to melt away. It's a relief, isn't it? But it takes effort. And as we sit, we learn what that effort is, what that particular effort is. Because it's not about becoming something different. It's not about moving towards something we've decided we should be. It's about returning to this moment. So our minds drift. We bounce off of things, our emotions soar or sink, or we go dull. we get sleepy or restless. We may feel like spiritual flops. We may feel like we truly have tasted the truth of Tathagata's way. And sometimes those things alternate quite quickly, right? I'm a flop. It's all good. We face it all. We face it all in this little black cushion. This square of cloth. We face it all. And in facing, we have a fundamental choice. We either get in, we return to the habit of ranking and judging and deciding and fixing and, you know, oh, if I do this, that'll happen and, you know, and perpetuate delusion in that way. Or we can turn away from that suffering, that detour, and we can just choose to be here with it as it is. In that, our rootedness, our stability becomes unshakable. We become Fudo's heart. Nothing can sway us. We treat ourselves and every aspect of our reality with respect, and our being grows more inclusive, kinder, more vigorous, wisdom. We are able to engage more fruitfully. Now, you know, Dogen Zenji says no gaining idea, and that's good. But what he means is don't make up stories. Don't decide what you think is going to happen. Just keep coming back, keep coming back. It's a natural process. Gyoke Sensei said, a Japanese nun, once I realized that the point is to be here, there was no reason to rush or be anxious. So when you're sitting zazen, no need to rush or be anxious. Ride the flow of nature. If you don't do this, you suffer a great deal. With this, I saw how I didn't have to suffer, which doesn't mean there's no pain. It is very difficult. The reasoning is not hard to understand, but to do it is difficult. She goes on to say, to accept everything is the final and highest form of humanity. You complete your life in this way. So this is the spirit of Zazen. You complete your life simply by sitting with dignity and presence in the midst of the life that you have, with the body that you have, with the mind that you have, with the heart that you have, in this moment. Period. This is boundless. This is unobstructed. This is knowing ourselves to be all that is. Or at least catch glimpses of it once in a while. Then we take that, right? We take that teaching and we say, oh, I know what that is. We have an idea and I'm going to get there. We set up a standard and we fail. I like failure. I love seeing failure. Because when we fail, we grow. It's a very good thing. When we fail at the ideas that we have, we drop our calculated effort. Our ideals, our arrogance, our self-disparagement. When we fail, we have to just return to this moment. We don't get in our own way with all of our ideas and plans and projects. We simply come back to this moment as it is, nothing more. And that includes all of life. It is dynamic and it is at rest. we can do this when we have a kind mind, a stable mind. You have to remember that kindness is not weak. It requires strength and discipline. Remember, discipline means to follow what you love, to be a disciple of what is most dear to you, what your deepest aspiration is. So it's not at odds with kindness at all. This kindness means that we give up all of our cockeyed notions, right? Don't you like that word, cockeyed? But where we think we're going, we grow, we become more robust. This is challenging, like Gyokei said, but as I've said before, life is challenging, right? So what else are you going to do? You think you're going to get out of this one alive? You might as well say, yes, challenging. Now what? How do I cultivate good spirit, humor, flexibility, friendship, determination? We can count on the fact that life knocks us for a loop. We can count on the fact that when we sit on this little black square of cloth, on this little cushion or in a chair, that we're going to see all kinds of things that we don't want to see. It's inevitable. We grieve, we struggle, we have great joy. There isn't any other life besides that one. And the effort to make it into something else is exhausting. So we let go of that. We take time to sit down with vitality and presence. We allow an expanded perspective to grow. We become rooted in this life. Day to day, patiently, patience is essential. This is the effort of the Bodhisattva. This is the heart of Sesshin. We get to know ourselves, our particular minds and bodies, our habits. Oh, I have a knee that needs support. It's good for me to stretch before I sit down. Time to move to a chair. Time to use a bench. Time to get back on the floor. You see the ways, particular ways in which your mind works. One thing that's for sure, the more friendly you get, the more familiar you get, the less juice. You know, you don't get knocked upside the head by something that comes along. You say, oh yeah, okay, there it goes again. You can let it go. So Dogen's instruction for the cook I spoke about last week, and they're good to revisit. We have all the ingredients for a good and nourishing soup each time we sit on this in this little pot. This little. We're cooking a nourishing meal for all beings, for ourselves and all beings. Dogen says, when you wash the rice and prepare the vegetables, you must do it with your own hands and with your own eyes and make a sincere effort. Do not be idle or give away this opportunity, even if it is only a drop in the ocean of merit. So get your hands dirty in Zazen, in serving, in hitting the han, and taking a rest, enjoying the sunshine. Pay attention. It's physical, concrete, immediate. Use your own hands. As somebody says, you can be as mindful as you want, but being mindfulness does not cut a carrot. That's our way. We cut the carrot, right? So this is not hypothetical or abstract. And we do not give away this opportunity. I know you've all taken time out of your lives to come up here and spend this time together. We don't give it away. We cherish it. Nor do we make it into something else other than it is. Even if we think it's just one drop in an ocean of merit. You know, it's just me. What am I? How am I the ocean of merit? How am I all of Buddha nature, continuous practice? Even if you have one of those thoughts, just do it. It is complete. So he's very clear about this issue of not judging ingredients. He says, when preparing the vegetables and soup ingredients to be cooked, in other words, every time you sit down on your cushion and you've got all these ingredients from your own mind and heart, do not discuss the quantity and quality of these materials. Just prepare them with sincerity. You got what you got. Make the soup out of it. Most of all, you should avoid getting upset or complain about the quantity or quality of the food materials. So, have you ever thought, oh, I wish I had that person suffering clearly. If I had that, if I was that, it would be so much easier. Or you sit next to somebody, this used to happen at Tassajara a lot, you sit next to somebody and you're convinced they never move. And they're thinking the same thing about you. Or not. So, don't complain about the quantity or quality of the food, of the what's arising in your mind. Just cook it. You know, a good cook can make something delicious out of just about anything. In the art of cooking, the essential consideration is to have a deeply sincere and respectful mind, regardless of the fineness or coarseness of the ingredients. A refined cream soup is not necessarily better than a broth of wild grasses. Know that even wild grasses can nourish the sacred body and bring forth the buds of the way. Do not regard them as low or take this lightly. So how many of you feel that what you're up to is a broth of wild grasses? Or some strange concoction of ingredients? No? Prunes and garlic or something, I don't know. So the art of cooking zazen is cultivating this deep and sincere and respectful mind for everything. It can be difficult, as Gyokei Sensei says, but it is the way of freedom and generosity to yourself and to all beings. Remember, Dogen Senshi says, wild grasses nourish the sacred body of all reality. And they bring forth the buds of the way. So believe it. Believe it. Dogen says it, right? Know that wild grasses, anything that comes up in your mind, and I mean anything, nourish the sacred body and bring forth the buds of the way. So he tells us, in order to further this, we should cultivate three aspects of mind. In this fascicle, he's talking about these three aspects of mind. And remember that mind means mind and heart in this area. It's not just what's between your ears. He says, in performing your duties, this is to the cook, but it's to us as cooks. In performing your duties, you should cultivate three qualities of mind. You should maintain joyful mind, kind mind, and great mind. So joyful mind, kinshin, is the mind that rejoices in the opportunity to cook for the three treasures. So the opportunity to cook, the opportunity to sit here, the opportunity, when we think of the privilege it is all that supports us to be able to do this. We have joy, we have gratitude, right? So this isn't a false or brittle happiness or being tied to passing pleasures. It's a very simple joy that arises when we remember the opportunity we have to recall ourselves to what is most true about who we are and who all beings are. And engage fully. So in the Tenzo Kyokun, he's saying, you know, rejoice for the opportunity to cook for the monks. No matter what ingredients you get, just do it with sincerity. So because it is an opportunity to recall ourselves in each period of Zazen, in each act, this joy isn't tied to circumstances. It's not, it can easily exist in the presence of grief, or sorrow, anger, everything. You know? You can have both at the same time. Kind mind, or parental mind, Roshin, is loving concern without attachment to a particular outcome. So, with kind mind, we settle into a certain kind of effort, and we cultivate a caring concern, precise caring, respectful caring, determined caring, responsible caring. You know, a parent is responsible, right? Not like, ah, well, what the hell. No, there's a responsibility there. It's that kind of caring. There's a vigor to it. It's a way of being in our lives. Returning to kind mind over and over and over transforms our Zazen practice. It is flexible and strong and vigorous. With kind mind, with parental mind, we can allow Zazen to be Zazen. We can allow Zazen to sit Zazen. It's like Suzuki Roshi said, you do not sit Zazen, Zazen sits Zazen. To do that, we have to settle. We have to be settled and allow it to be itself. The third is magnanimous mind. This is the settled mind, like a mountain, like a great ocean, inclusive of everything, unswayed by particularity, not indulging in exclusivity, open, stable, free from concern for this and that. This is a mountain mind. With this generous attitude, our mind opens to become what it is. It's inclusive, unshakable. So this stability, generosity, kindness, simple joy, grows in your Zazen practice. It is your Zazen practice. This is a natural process. It's like, you know, it's not foreign to you, any of this. It's not foreign. It's like you have to import it into your being. It's already there. It's like a spring is already there. You know, sometimes a spring will naturally bubble up. Sometimes there's a little leaf or something that's on top of the spring, and we just have to do a little brushing aside, and the water just naturally flows. And we don't have to, like, pump it or haul it in from someplace else. That's who you are, is this natural spring. You simply have to allow it. This is riding the flow of nature. with all you've got. You know, with all you've got. That's what I mean about that particular kind of vigor. It's not like, yeah. It's alive. These other things. One story. What is Zen? It's alive. So, wild grasses and all, we pour our lives into zazen. We listen, we cook, we're transformed, we nourish. We remember Gyokei Sensei when she tells us to accept everything is the final and highest form of humanity. You complete your life when you do this. So in zazen, we complete our lives. We complete our lives with all beings. So I'll close by saying, keep it simple. Don't try and remember everything that I said. You can ask me later. I'll give you a copy of the talk if you want it. Don't worry. As I said, don't worry, be happy. Just keep it simple. If one phrase, one word, one feeling stays with you after this, allow it to orient you when you sit down. You need to hold on. Let the self and all of its agendas go over and over and over and over, because it just keeps going, right? And return to just this, in the faith that this is the way. This is the manifestation of all reality. Already Buddha. So we cultivate these things, we try and remember these things, and then we let it go. We sit down and we just let it go. Or we don't. And that's included too. So it's kind of like you can't get away. You can't get away because it's all included. Even getting away is included. Then you go, oh yeah, you come back again. We have time for questions. What's our...